Hey, it's Screenfish. Screenfish Radio.
That's right. Don't adjust your whatever device you're hearing this on. It's me, live and in stereo.
No return engagements, no encore, and this time, absolutely no requests. Get a snack, settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life, more specifically, why my life ended.
And if you're listening to this podcast, then you're one of the reasons why.
Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish.
Welcome to the podcast. We are so glad that you could be with us here for a special youth edition as we talk about Netflix's controversial series, 13 Reasons Why. And this week we have a panel of experts of being teens, because they are, and they're laughing at me already. Welcome to Daniel Collins, Savannah Roach, Mitch McGowan, and Bria Bowden. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Mitch doesn't like the fact that I used his name. I don't know what's going on here. This week we're talking about 13 Reasons Why, Netflix's controversial series about a young woman, Hannah Baker, who kills herself and releases...
She's 15.
She's still young. She's a young woman.
I'm 15.
No, she's 15 and...
Oh, you're saying that, like, emphatically.
She was actually
17
when she killed herself.
Anyway. A 15-year-old high school student who takes her own life and leaves behind 13 sides of tapes? 13... it's not 13 tapes, but
seven tapes.
And each side is a different person in her life story that she wants to arguably call out, put blame on, or...
For why she killed herself.
For why she takes her life, absolutely. But there's been a lot of controversy about this particular show. And I thought that having the four of you here would actually really be a good opportunity to hear from you what you think of 13 Reasons Why. But before we do that, just a reminder that this conversation will contain spoilers. So if you haven't seen the show, be prepared for that. But we want to make sure with a show like this that we have all the opportunity to talk about it in any way possible. So what do you think? What do you think of the show?
I'll start off just saying I think that it was a really good show and portrayed, like, accurate depictions of kind of more, like, realistic bullying as opposed to, like, give me your lunch money. You know what I mean? Like, small thing, like... One thing can be, like, bad and you're holding it back and people just keep doing the small things. And the small things are really what really triggers you to get to the point of what Hannah did.
Savvy, what about you?
Like, along with what Mitch said, like, it shows, like, a real aspect to what it's like to be bullied. Like, it just really, like, it gives you, like, the insight of, like, it actually depicts what actually happens in high school. It's not, like, the stereotypical, like Mitch said, like, the give me your lunch money, you know? Like, it actually, it goes deeper than that, and that it does actually cause the stuff sometimes, like, and it's not a subject to really joke about, and it's a touchy subject for a lot of people.
I like the show. Certain characters could have been played by better people.
Like, the acting could have been better.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like that the show, like, the, like, going on top of Savannah and Mitch, the show really, like, is relatable for, like, teenagers, mm-hmm. because a lot of us go through similar things is what Hannah was going through. We may not take it to, like, the extremes that she did, but, like, it's just nice when you can, like, watch something and be able to kind of relate to it, because it then gets you more interested in the show.
Well, it definitely does not sugarcoat the whole aspect of bullying and what it can lead to, which I like, because, again, it's something that happens in the real world, and it's not something that you can just, like, pretend to make it real. You have to make it real for it to be real and for people to actually think, oh, this happens. It's not, oh, give me your lunch money or else I'm gonna, like, punch you in the neck or something. It's just people talking about you behind your back that you find out.
Okay, so each one of you guys have mentioned, have talked about the stereotypical bully and said, give me your lunch money. But I haven't seen that represented as bullying in years. Like, is that still what you think of the stereotype of bullying? Like, what about a show like Riverdale? Seriously.
I understand where you're coming from, but, like, also, we still have some of the shows that depicted bullying as that.
Sure, of course. It's changed, I know.
Yeah, it's really changed as we're growing up, but, like, I feel like the shows we started out with as a, like, as really young, that's how it was still depicted in those times. And now I think TV shows and the media are, like, actually understanding now that that's not the stereotype to go after because it gives no relatable content to anyone.
Right, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And it gives no insight into anything. Because if people continuously think that's what's going on, then it's not going to help the issue at all.
Also because when we were smaller, we watched shows, like, I guess. Well, not smaller,
like Arthur?
Like, not smaller, but I mean, like, early teenage, like,
Ned's Declassified School Survival Guide. They depicted it as,
Degrassi.
Degrassi, too. Like,
it was all physical bullying, whereas now, more
recently, it's more emotional and verbal than it is physical.
It's not all physical.
So what is it about a show like this that sets it apart from, say, Riverdale, which is another big hit and on Netflix? But it is, again, teen drama, like, if for those of you that have seen it. Like, what is it that's different?
With Riverdale, I think because of how much other context is behind it, it doesn't really... It's not like 13 Reasons Why, where it focuses on... That's what the main point of the show is to understand, like, what happened that led up to her committing suicide. And with Riverdale, that stuff is kind of somewhat pushed to the side. It's not the main point of the show. It's not what they focus on.
But how is that different? Because Who Killed Jason is the murder mystery on that show. Isn't this almost the reverse? It's
Jason?
Is it Jason the character?
Yeah, Jason. No,
Jason. Jughead's not dead.
Jughead's
not
dead.
Can't kill off Jughead. It's like killing off Archie.
No, Jason, Riverdale.
Anyway.
No, yeah.
It's a different show.
Not the point. But that's a murder mystery, if you will.
Yeah, it is a murder mystery, but, like, a lot of it involves the adults more than the students in high school. Like, it's a lot more focused on, like, the adults. They make up a bigger lot, like, of the cast in that show than in 13 Reasons Why, where majority of the cast is the high school students. Mm. And that's the focus of their show.
Also because 13 Reasons Why was made so serious, like, all the characters are, like, all, like, not depressed, but, like, they all have a really bad past or something that's happened to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Riverdale, they have that, but it's not focused on it. Mm-hmm. As well as because so many of the bigger fans have read 13 Reasons Why book, they realize that, okay, this is coming to life now, so it's going to be hit or miss. So it's either going to be really, really serious and really good, or it's just going to be, like, making fun of it. Riverdale, thank you. For Riverdale, it's like, okay, it's a murder mystery. We're trying to find who killed, whereas in 13 Reasons Why, we know who killed, but we're figuring out who the bigger part is.
Yeah.
Why?
Like, why?
13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
There's 13
Reasons.
I think I can counter to that. Because in 13 Reasons Why, they all know why Hannah killed herself. They all know who is the main problem. I think the problem is they can't tell because Hannah has done it in such a way, like, if the person on tape number 4 was to rat out the person on tape number 7, then
they're ratting themselves out.
They're ratting themselves out too. So, in a way, I feel like it's kind of more like they're just trying to keep a secret. Mm. One big secret.
Well, like, even with Riverdale, like, they're trying to keep a really large secret. Mm-hmm. And they did keep it for a really long time until Jason got killed.
As I'm noticing, now thinking about it, all of the new shows are all, like, kind of the same, but have a different take.
Different, like,
Riverdale's kind of like Pretty Little Liars, if you think about it.
It is.
Because everyone's looking for A, right? Whereas in Riverdale, everyone's looking
for
who
killed Jason.
Right, so then what sets this apart? Like,
there's not much that does. Not much, except for some character backstory.
and a slight switch in the plotline.
Yes, because 13...
And how it's depicted.
But, like, 13 Reasons Why is in the same category and has the same thing, but it's a little different because we know who the killers are,
yeah.
And we get to listen to their story of what happened and what they did to kill Hannah. Whereas in Riverdale and Pretty Little Liar, you know why, but they don't really go into detail and tell you how and why at the same time.
Well, and tone must make a big difference, too, because in all seriousness, when you watch Riverdale, you know, 13 Reasons Why doesn't have lines like, wow, Archie got hot.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
I mean,
like, check out his abs, you know. There's a real sense of the weight of those words, I think, in 13 Reasons Why, whereas Riverdale...
Riverdale just kind of tosses them around like it's not a big deal.
And in 13 Reasons Why, instead of tossing around that, it kind of sets in the mood. Because at the beginning, you hear stuff like that about Justin, Foley, and whoever. But then as the show carries on, you start to take
realize these traits.
The characters. And so do the characters in the show. And then everything starts to change. And they stop using terms like that. And start using, well, you're a piece of crap. And, like,
yeah.
You're not who everyone thinks you are.
With 13 Reasons Why, it's kind of just, it shows both sides of the story. Like, it shows Hannah's side, and it also shows the people that were on the outside of it. And a lot of, like, with Riverdale, for example, like, you're seeing everyone around, like, and what happened outside, but you don't get Jason's side of things. Like, really, like, you get a brief description of it from the people he was close to, like, Polly and stuff, but, like, honestly, they never get to his side. Like with 13 Reasons Why, they show both, and it gives detail to what's going on.
How many teenage shows in the past have shown suicide as a character or the death of a character? It's all how you handle it, which begs the question of this. You guys have sort of indicated that you guys, if I'm hearing you right, that this is a semi-accurate depiction of life in high school.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You guys agree on that?
Yeah.
What about the depiction of suicide? There's a lot of people that find this show really controversial. Like there is a, like it's somehow glorifying suicide. I want to read you guys a quote. So this is from an article in The New Yorker, and it's talking about the show, and it's comparing it with the book in some way. So if it sounds like that, that's what I'm talking about. In other recent TV shows like Jessica Jones and Sweet/Vicious, a young woman's desire to exert control after trauma is the foundation of the storyline. In 13 Reasons Why, it's the story's end. Hannah is a mere illustration of the fact that rape exists, that it occurs physically, and that it is spiritually destructive. In Beyond the Reasons, it's dizzying to watch Justin Prentice, the actor who plays Bryce, say, as society, we tend to shy away from these hard topics. This says, no, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And it's true. After watching the rape scene, which the show films in close-up and with cuts to the present, stretches across for almost 4 minutes of screen time, I did indeed come away with a sense that there was a problem I hadn't thought about deeply. One of TV shows giving themselves license to shovel trauma at their audience while assuring their audience that it's actually healthier this way. So this particular author seems to think that by showing gratuitous rape, that it's actually just saying, what gives you the right to show me that? In essence, like, how, by traumatizing me as a viewer, how are you making it any better? I've heard schools in Ontario that have banned it from being shown by teachers because they're afraid that it glorifies suicide and that, quote, it might put ideas in the heads of their students. So what do you think about that? How do you feel about the show in that way?
Okay.
Rhea's got strong feelings on this.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily put the thought in a kid's head.
Okay.
It makes them, yes, realize that other people, like people who have the idea, have had the idea of committing suicide before the show happens. It's not just something that you see and you're like, I'm going to do that. It's something that, it's a mental illness where you become suicidal as well as it goes along with other mental illnesses too, like it combines. It's not just something you see and you're like, well, time to go kill myself. Like,
exactly.
It's not a thing. And for the rape, like, I think it's a good thing because how they've put it in the show, not rape is a good thing, but like. in the show.
The depiction of it.
Yeah, the depiction of how they put it in the show is, like, more of an awareness thing, because normally in a show, as the quote is said, is it happens, and then the character suddenly becomes strong. Whereas in this show, it shows what happened in reality because
it shows how a person can deteriorate.
Exactly. Like, Hannah gets raped, and then her mental health all of a sudden gets worse than it was before, and then that's kind of more or less what is the biggest part of what leads her up to killing herself. Which, in many ways, is kind of what happens, because a lot of people out there who have been raped, that's normally what happens to them. They normally, like, feel really crappy after, and then their whole mental state and sense of security and safety goes down the drain, and then they're like, well, what else am I going to do? There's no other option for me. They don't think to reach out for help. They don't think, they feel, put themselves in Hannah's position, and then, but it's not something that someone just wakes up one day and was like, I'm going to go kill myself.
Well, can I get a definition of the word glorified?
I believe the term, when they're using it in this term, it's not that they're making it look great. It's that they're making it look like more
it's
of a positive
way.
Option. As not that it's the only way, but it's something that says, you know what? This is a good way. This is a good way to handle your problems.
It's
this
like
seems
like,
to be the controversy.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Like saying, like, oh, you're going through some really tough stuff. Then here's an easy way out. That's basically what it's.
Okay.
So that's a concern. That's a concern.
Well, now knowing that, I don't think it's glorifying suicide, because, like, it's not like one thing happens and then she just kills herself. It's not like somebody's like, oh, you're a whore, and then she's like, oh, better go, you know, kill myself. It's, these things keep happening and happening and happening, and as you see, when you get closer to the end, she goes to the guidance counselor, and she tries to talk to him, but it's hard for her to really kind of say what happened, because she, like, obviously she feels ashamed of what had happened to her. And after him, like, not really realizing and not, like, I guess
putting two
and
two together?
Yeah. She realizes, well, if nobody's going to listen to me, if nobody's going to take me seriously, why am I here, sort of thing. Like, I don't think it glorifies. Like, it's not like, oh, get hit in the face, get called a name, and then just go kill yourself. It's, this can happen, and
this
it goes on for
this.
A long time,
mm-hmm.
and it can lead to this. And some people, obviously, they have done this, and this is something that they've dealt with, and they feel like they should do, and they have. Some people can go along getting bullied for quite a while and, you know, go to a counselor and get help. But I don't think it's glorifying suicide.
As bad as it sounds, it's kind of true, but it's not going to come across as... This is going to be really confusing, but Hannah's been dead since the start.
Of the show?
Like...
Yeah.
Not like actually like dead. Like, I mean, since Justin took the picture of her going down the slide, her life has been over.
Interesting. Okay.
She was, that's what started everything. She was new to the town. She was new to the school. She met Justin, who was her friend who moved away's ex. She liked Justin. She went out with Justin. Justin took a picture of her. And spread
rumors.
Rice is really the bane of everything that happens. Because
he
the show.
Sent it from Justin's phone. He
sent the
That's
picture
right.
around
right.
the school. He raped Jessica, and he raped Hannah. So he raped two people. And technically, he sexually assaulted her in the convenience store.
Yeah.
And. Although I think some things in the show were kind of drastic, like she was overdramatic when they said she had the best ass in sophomore. I don't like sure maybe that's
not really a bad
that's
thing.
Like objectifying a body, which you're not supposed to really do now. But like
it's more
being
a
said, it's
people,
more of a compliment.
A lot of people take that as a compliment.
Exactly,
you know.
Yeah,
and
especially
she did.
No.
Like, I want to hop back to what Brie was saying about, like, the whole after the fact of being raped. Like, a lot of people lose the feeling of self. Like, they don't, like, I don't know, they're like...
They don't bounce
they
back
don't,
from it.
that, and also they kind of lose a sense of who they are. Having a friend who has gone through that, like, she is not the same person she was. And I think she uses a lot of stuff now to hide it. But
it's a friend of
she,
yours.
Yes. But she, at the same time, like, she uses stuff to counterbalance it instead of actually addressing it. But because Hannah addressed the fact and she didn't have other stuff and she had been going through so much, like, my friend hasn't, like, other than that, she hasn't really dealt with a lot. But, like, having, like, with Hannah's experience, like, she has so much more on her plate. So, it I understand why she decided to commit suicide, because it's a lot. Like, teenagers deal with a lot nowadays. Like, a lot more than even my mom says. Like, she says we deal with a lot more now than we did in her time. Mm. And I completely agree with it. Like, there's so much new stuff that we have to deal with on a daily basis that is completely terrifying for a lot of people, because a lot of us don't know how to handle it. And I think that there were some things that Hannah did not know how to deal with.
Well, you know, that, see, there's a good question. I think that ties in beautifully to what Mitch was saying. What did you think about Hannah? Because, you know, when you girls were talking, you talked a lot about the rape. But as we see, I believe the rape is the end, last episode, second last episode,
yeah,
of the show. And I will admit that I'm only about halfway through. I just know that it happens,
yeah,
in the show.
That's the second last episode.
That's right at
the
end.
The second last tape, I should say.
So what you have there is the culmination of a lot of little things. Now, it starts with a list. Or it starts with a photo, mm-hmm, continues with a
it's
list.
It's the hurricane effect.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah,
butterfly,
there we go.
Effect.
One correct thing starts it, and it just sets up a line of events that are about to happen.
They say that if a butterfly flaps its wings,
are you quoting
the show? Yes.
That's what the butterfly effect is.
That a hurricane can happen on the other side of the world.
Yeah, she also quoted Jurassic Park and saying that. But that's another story.
Yeah, that's where I don't.
Jeff Goldblum, chaos theory. No, it's just one of the theories of the way the world works. But
there's a lot of those.
But it was interesting to me when you guys start talking about where he grabs her in the store. You said technically he sexually assaulted her, and you guys started saying, well, most people would have thought of that as a compliment.
No.
The list. Sorry, not the grabbing. No, that's not what I meant. I'm sorry. You're right. That is a very clear distinction.
That's extremely inappropriate to do something.
The grabbing, of course.
Like that to a person.
But how is the list any different? Because you're talking about, well, the list is a compliment, and there were people on the list. The girl was doing her makeup because she had the best lips, right? But for her, it was, how can you objectify me and put me on a list?
Okay.
And there's that moment with Clark or Cody or
Clay.
I don't remember.
Oh,
the guy is so forgettable for me. I can't remember his name.
You're the bad actor.
He wasn't bad.
I thought he did a good job, actually.
Elizabeth, is something completely different than you actually like. Touching someone. Like,
actions speak louder than
words. Exactly. Actions speak louder than words. And, like...
But do the words set up the action?
He wrote a list. He didn't do it to offend her. He did it as a compliment. But because of the way she took it, it was offensive.
But he doesn't. Because he says he doesn't. Because Clay confronts him.
He did it to get back at Jessica.
He confronts him at the coffee shop, and he says, I'm sure you did it as a compliment. He goes, no, I didn't.
Oh, that's right, because on the other side of the list, the worst ass was
Jessica.
I think so. He was taking the two friends and pitting them against each other because
he was doing it with his buddies.
Yeah.
And they were saying,
okay,
that's what he said.
Then fix what I was saying.
Sorry, I mean, it's not about fixing.
No. It's more of, but then again, like, he's also her friend. Like, I think somewhere in his heart, like, he wasn't doing it to be rude.
Hmm.
Like, yeah, he was getting back at Jessica, but I don't think he did it intentionally to hurt. He didn't do it to hurt Hannah.
No.
He did not hurt Jessica. It wasn't even, like, I'm not saying that it was to hurt, like, I'm just saying that it wasn't to hurt Hannah. Wasn't intended to hurt Hannah.
Yeah.
It was intended to hurt Jessica. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't meant to be an offense to Hannah.
I think what we can also, like, think about is, Like, we don't really know much of Hannah's backstory before she came to the school. I can't remember its name. Don't really care. Liberty High.
Liberty High.
We don't really know about that. So, like, she could come from a school where, like, nothing ever happens. Like, thinking about, like, somebody grabbing your ass or making a list. Like, that's something that doesn't come up.
She's never, completely opposite, and she was going through the same thing before.
Yeah, we don't know. But, like, if we're thinking, like, right now, what I'm thinking is she could have come from a school before that.
Yes.
This was never anything that ever happened. So she was never, I guess, like, taught about, like, oh, if bullying happens, she was not exposed to it. So when she comes to this school and this happens, she doesn't think that it's a compliment. She's like, whoa, okay, I don't know how to deal with this. And the first thing she thinks of is, it's offensive to me. I don't like my name being on this list, and I don't like this happening to me. But again, we don't know what's happened beforehand.
Oh, hold on. I'm just, like, taking this in now. Hannah's new to school.
Yeah, she is.
No. But then, how is their parents owned a pharmacy?
No, because they moved because their parents bought the pharmacy there. That's why they moved. Walplex.
Yeah, the Wall.
The Walplex was in their old town, so they had to move locations so they could get more business. And that's why Walplex becomes a problem for their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Daniel brought up a good point here, though. He's talking about, we don't know Hannah's story, but we know the part of the story that Hannah wants to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you feel, like, did you feel like you could trust Hannah?
No.
No?
Well, okay, for me, it was because so many of the other characters put other stuff in my head, because they were all like, she's lying. Some of the things I believe were true. Like, some of the major things I believe were true, but I feel like Hannah put more of an over-exaggerated twist on them. Like, for example, the whole thing with,
Bryce.
No, not Bryce. I said 100% true. What's her name? The one no one likes?
Courtney.
There we go.
I hate her.
Okay, like, with
that
her story, like, yes, I believe most of it is true, but I also believe that Hannah over-dramatized it because she was like, well, it's a minor thing that happened to me, but I want to make a big deal, so I'm going to put something in it to make them feel worse about themselves, kind of thing. So to get back at them for what they did to me.
What exactly did Courtney do?
She lied about the picture that she wasn't in, and then she switched up on her and was like, I'm not your friend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So does, in a show like this, do you think that her perspective shapes what the truth is, or, you know, it's not like she's telling her version of the story, but the show treats her tapes as though it's the only version of the truth.
Well, then if she says there's sort of 13 sides to every story, so
exactly,
she's not saying my side is the only side.
Oh, okay.
Because
all
at
right.
the beginning, if you listen to the first episode, she says
there's 13 sides to
every story. He's like, this isn't, she says, this isn't the other side. Remember, there are 13 sides to every story. So she's saying, in my opinion, what I thought she was saying was, this is my side right here.
Yeah,
like,
this is my,
everyone else has their own side.
Yeah, like,
story.
This is my, like, this is how I viewed it, you know? But just because I viewed it this way doesn't mean every single other person that caused me to do this
honestly,
the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because they obviously don't.
Like, Zach didn't do much, but...
Like, even Clay, like...
Exactly, like...
Clay didn't even understand why he was there.
Exactly, like, they didn't do much, but what they did to her, she felt like it impacted her in a big way, whereas for them, they were like, what?
For them,
it was
like, I didn't even know that. Yeah, exactly. Like, it kind of, like, boggled them, because they didn't understand, like, it could be something so minuscule to somebody, but to someone else, it could be, like, grand.
The worst
thing.
Like,
exactly.
I believe they're putting another season.
Yeah.
They are. There's going to be 26 Reasons Why shortly. Next
oh,
week.
No.
We don't know
really
what
did.
It's about, do we?
No,
not
they
really.
They haven't said anything. Although they said they're doing a sequel.
At this point, what I think is they're going to show, like, other people, like, for every episode.
I'd love to. Realistically, I'd like
they
if they do that.
Show,
yeah.
Like, the other side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, I feel like that would make more sense for them to do, rather than they keep going on, Hannah's there, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
show the other show the other 13 signs.
Yeah, I feel like it would be like because of that there. First big statement thing, there's 13 signs to every story. I feel like everyone should have their own, like, not even full season, maybe like half season
or like even like a couple episodes.
How they feel and how they think it really happened.
How they got to that
place.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I don't want a whole season of Courtney.
She can have one episode.
No, like each of them, like I understand if they have like.
And then the rest can just
their
be
own,
shared.
Like two episodes each. Or like.
Right,
like,
I see what you're saying.
You know? Just to give some backstory to like how they beat it.
Right. I think this is a tough question, so bear with me on this one. But there is a really interesting conversation that Alex is talking. Alex down? Wait, no, it's
Sandal?
No.
Tyler down!
That's it, Tyler down.
Tyler down.
Tyler down.
Oh, Tyler is the photo guy? Which one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry,
Tyler
he's Alex.
Tyler's
the
photo guy.
Alex
is the guitar.
Right.
Alex is the guitar. Alex is the fight
guy. Tyler
Alex
is talking
Alex
with
the
guy.
Alex is the guy who kills himself at the end.
Well...
No, that's okay, because I...
Wait, what? Yeah, the last episode, he kills himself. Or they
or,
say
yeah,
he kills
they
himself.
Say
he did,
but
I think Tyler killed him. That's my opinion. Thank you.
But,
I'm really hoping to watch this.
If you think about it, Tyler has his chest, and he's taking out and cleaning his gun, and puts his guns back in. And then they're like, Alex shot himself in the head.
Oh,
well,
that's
sketch.
Sketch.
That's sketch.
The director doesn't
that's
give
sketch.
You any reason on why Tyler has the guns. So that's what I think.
There's no way. Sorry, I'll respect your opinion, but there's no way that he killed himself because you know why? You see him organizing his whole room, making his bed, hanging his clothes in a certain way. You see him, like, he knows where his dad keeps his gun. His dad's a cop. And they literally say he killed himself.
They're saying there's no way that somebody killed
him.
Yeah,
there is
yeah.
no way that so.
I guess
like,
I can both sides of it, but
like, I mean,
so
that makes
Tyler
sense too. But I just think because of the way that the I think because the author has input into the movie or the movie or show series or whatever that is happening. I feel like because I've read so many of this author's book that I feel like that they would lean more towards the Tyler thing. But I totally respect your opinion. Like that's really clear too because. Those are all signs of I'm going to kill myself from what we've seen in the show, because that's what Hannah does.
Well, and going back to, I'm sorry interrupting, but going back to the idea of glorifying the issue, you know, knowing that now at the end, that could be an interesting way argument for it, because at the end, if that's somebody takes his own life because of what has happened, you know, that could be part of it.
It's just like a chain of
reaction.
We don't know what everyone's thinking.
Going back to this exchange with Tyler and the guidance counselor, there's a really interesting moment where Tyler talks about how he's getting beaten up. I think it's Tyler. And he gets his pants pulled down. I think it's either Tyler or Alex. I forget which one it is. It's Tyler. And the guidance counselor's response is, what can you do to prevent it? And he goes on a rant for a couple of minutes about, you know, you're blaming the victim. You're blaming the victim. So, and I know this is a very, very hard question. What does that look like in this case? When you watch a show like this, do you respond by saying, look at what has happened to Hannah, this is so tragic, or do you say, this is tragic, but Hannah bears some of her own responsibility? How do you feel about that question as it relates to a show like this?
I mean... The second thing that you said, I think, is what happened. Because, yes, Hannah has her own responsibility. Because she's the one that took... Like, yes, these are serious topics that have happened to her. And yes, but she's the one that took them all, like, okay, there's
so
no way out of this for me. I'm just gonna... There's nothing left for me in this world. I have no purpose. I'm gonna go kill myself. So she puts that responsibility on herself. Because, yes, these things are tragic. But she, like, she knew she could go get help. She tried to get help, but she just couldn't say it. Like, she couldn't... go out to support her or her parents or anything and say it. So she kind of took that responsibility and was like, no, I can't. I'm keeping this all inside. It's just for me. No one needs to know until I'm dead.
It's different situations. People handle things differently. Mm-hmm. People that have gone through the same thing as Hannah and not committed suicide. But some people deal with things easier than others. Like, some people more. Like, some people have the mental capacity. Like, quote-unquote mental capacity to do that. Some people don't. A lot of people, like, it's difficult to deal with these things. Like, it like, plain and simple, for everyone, it's difficult to deal with these things. Some people push them off to the side and deal with them like that. Some people make jokes about them to deal with it like that. Some people, because things have added up, will end up committing suicide, like I did it. And it's all about who the person is.
Yeah.
My opinion, everybody's Hannah. Everybody has small things that get them to a point, or a big thing continued by small things that are just always there. Everybody deals with depression. Everybody deals with going through hard times. Everybody has rough patches.
Interesting. Okay. Daniel, what do you think?
I agree with what Mitchell has said for the most part. I think it could have been worded a bit differently. I don't think everyone has gone through depression. I think a lot of people have been depressed because there is like a fine line between
being depressed
and having depression, because depression is a mental illness. Being depressed is like obviously like, I mean, it's hard to really like define, but it's sad, loneliness, like feeling really sad. It's hard to explain, but
it's hard to explain.
But
unless you've experienced it
yeah.
in the state of like actually having depression.
Yes.
Because being depressed could last like a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having depression is a constant state of being.
Depressed
all the time. Like, it's a lot. It's really hard to get away from. And then people will go around throwing it around, being like, "Oh, I have depression." Meanwhile, they're just depressed for like
yeah.
a few hours. You know. And yeah, people who have depression have their moments of being happy, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of the time it doesn't last very long. It's a hard thing to explain of what you experience, because depression is different for every single person who has it.
Mm-hmm.
It affects a lot of people too, but like, you can't classify it as a certain thing when it's different for so many people.
What do you guys think about the importance of having a name or a voice? There's a beautiful scene, and I think it's the fifth episode, probably because that's the last one I saw, but where they're standing at Hannah's grave, and they take a piece of paper, and they write her name on it, because there's no headstone,
mm-hmm.
and put it on the grave, and you hear over and over again, people just say, "Look, I didn't know her, I didn't hear her." You get this sense that nobody's listening to her as we go through the show. So how do you feel about the show's portrayal about a name or a voice?
I feel like the show, they have portrayed it accurately, because especially because we're all in high school, we all kind of know that sometimes we feel invisible as of
mm-hmm.
how Hannah
mm-hmm.
has felt.
Yep.
So
to who?
Everybody.
Okay.
No matter,
everybody.
Like, everybody. We've all felt invisible.
Whether it be teachers, friends.
Exactly.
Parents.
Every single teenager ever has had that moment where they feel completely invisible, and not heard.
Yeah.
Which is what the show kind of says, is like, Hannah feels like she's invisible. That is so, like, that is relatable for most teenagers, because a lot of us go through that time where we feel invisible. The only thing is, a lot of us, like, some of us come out of it, whereas Hannah just didn't. Which I feel like this show, like, they took the worst of everything and said, this, and this can lead to this. Like, as, like, an awareness thing. So, like, her not having, being heard, I guess, is kind of, like, relatable for a lot of teenagers, as well as parents being like, okay, like, even if adults watch the show, they're like, okay, well, maybe if I'm there, like, if I don't do the certain things that that her parents have done, or that the other adults in her story has done, maybe, like, my kid won't go down that path if they're feeling like that. But I think it's portrayed really accurately.
When you're feeling invisible, you try and hand off a different marker to bring back a new part of you from each person that you encounter, or like that you're friends with, you know? But sometimes you're still going to miss that piece of you, because that person that used to be able to draw those pieces back for you are not there anymore. They can't always satisfy what you need, and which is why you can still feel invisible, no matter if you have friends to talk to or not.
So what does it mean to have a voice, then? You're talking about having friends. Well, she had friends, and there still seemed to be, sort of.
Their voices, from an outside eye, her voice didn't seem to matter much.
Like, going back to the whole friends thing, like, yeah, you have friends, but, like, me saying, like, I have friends, but, like, I don't talk to them about stuff because I know that what I have to say doesn't really matter to them.
Or
like, you can
really
still talk
help.
To them about it, and they can't really, yeah, like, they can't help. But, like, or even if you do feel like you can say stuff to them and you feel like your voice matters, like, secretly, you never know.
You're not them. You don't know how they're going to respond.
Yeah, exactly.
You might go to them asking them for help with, if you have depression, you're asking them for help. You want them to, like, make you feel happy, make you feel joyful for even, like, a certain amount of time. And they might not be able to do that because they just don't know how. And although they might be trying to, you feel like they're not doing it. They might be, you know, doing backflips, juggling, and you're just sitting there not feeling the way you want it to feel because that's not what you wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to really, like, clarify exactly what you want because you don't want to take the time to just sit down and be like, okay, I want this, this, and this. You just go and you say, help. And they're just like, oh, okay. And they try to do
they don't always
the
know
first
what
thing
you
that
need.
Really, yeah.
Like, you're the only person who knows what you need.
Yeah.
If you can't portray that, then practically.
One of the things you brought up a little while back, you brought up the parents. I heard somebody mention the parents. Adults are in this show and they play an important role. I was wondering how you felt about that the adults were portrayed. Maybe what could they have done differently? Do you think that they were fair?
Okay.
They were good parents, adults. What do you think?
Mr. Porter is stupid.
Which one's that's a
guidance
counselor.
No,
why was he stupid?
Because literally Hannah was asking for help, and he was like,
he literally said,
I don't know, man.
I
can help you.
I can't do anything unless you
and
tell
guidance,
me what it is.
Guidance counselor.
And then she was like, and she's like, well, you can't tell anyone. He's like, well, I have to tell someone.
And that's not what guidance counselors do, unless.
Unless it's something harmful to you. Unless it's going to harm you or harm others.
Yeah, they have to tell someone.
They have to tell someone if it's
going to
harm you or harm others. And I think he could have dealt with it and portrayed it. Like, yeah, he could have just given an open ear. He didn't have to state that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, afterwards, like, sometimes to get to the root of things, you need... Like, not even why. You kind of just have to weave your way.
Yeah, try to work
through certain things to work it so that... Because, like, honestly, it could have been preventable if, like, Mr. Porter didn't say that.
If he...
In a way, I mean...
If he had said what? If he said,
like,
that I have to report this?
Like, he didn't have to say that.
He does. See, here's where I can say. The first... Like, I've been working in youth ministry for 20 years... And the first thing we're told is not to promise you can't keep
yeah.
a secret.
No, but she didn't also ask him to promise that.
I thought Bria,
right.
didn't Bria just say that that's what she asked is for him to keep his mouth shut? Didn't you say that?
He was like, she was like, she said something along the lines of, are you going to tell somebody? And he was like, well, there's certain things I've been trained, there's certain things that I have to do, so if it's something big, I have to tell your parents.
I think he could have worded that a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has to say it because he has to do it.
Yeah,
but he
but
still
if,
said
yeah.
it. He could have said it in a different way.
He could have been like, Hannah, look, you can tell me whatever. I won't go back and tell you. But if it's something that's going to harm you.
Would that have made a difference?
Yes.
I think so.
You think so?
Because the way he said
yeah.
it was, whatever you're telling me, I'm going to go tell them.
Yeah, I'm going to just.
Yeah.
That's how he said it.
That's
it,
how
okay.
it came across.
Because the truth is, you know, if she had said, I'm planning to kill myself, planning to slit my wrists or do those things, he, by law, has
no,
to
yeah,
immediately
no, that's,
yeah,
that's
she was
going to
say. That's
but
not
that's,
what she was going to say.
She
exactly.
was
going to
tell him about the rape.
Yeah.
That's what she was going to tell him about. She was going to tell him, look, this is what's happening at school. These photos are going around, this and this and this. She wasn't going to say, I'm going to go slit my wrist and kill myself in my bathtub tonight.
Okay. But I'm just telling you, this is the tension. You know, it's funny, you talk about him being stupid. Maybe how he said it, he could have said it better.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that.
That's not why I said he was stupid, though. I said he was stupid because he didn't see that
well,
should be
helpful.
Because all of her signs, like,
after he was like, oh shoot, yeah, she
and
did
have
sex. Because all of a sudden she was like, I didn't say something. She was all nervous. He was like, what is it? He's like, she's like, I don't know how this is gonna sound. And then he was like, well, she's like, you can't tell anyone. He was like, what? Then she got up, she left, she wanted him to go after her to be like, what's wrong, Hannah? What's wrong? But he didn't.
Mm.
And then he sat there, and then as soon as that night, she kills herself that night after she goes into the office. That night, when he finds out, he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, I totally could have prevented that, because he knew in his head that maybe that's where she was going, but he wasn't like that. He denied it. He was like, nah, that's not where she's going. These kids are good, whatever. So I think it was stupid because he didn't see it
until it was too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Until it was too late. You know, it's interesting to me the way that adults are showing this, because I get the sense, and this is just me, I get the sense that the adults care.
Mm-hmm.
And being a youth worker, you know, being somebody that works with teens, I'm not going to claim that I know what you guys are going through. You know, that it's ridiculous for me to claim that, because I don't, unless you tell me. But I would sense, I think the guidance counselor cared. I think he absolutely cared. But there's a balance to that. There's the side that as a legal representative of the school, or even just a caregiver, that there is that I'm going to take, or I have to do these sorts of things. Now, maybe he should have seen it. That's the other thing. He's got to keep his eyes open. Maybe he missed a lot of things. But that's the one thing I saw in all the parents, is a lot of them seem to feel, how did I miss this? Like, how did I not see this coming? Which to me goes back to the idea of voice. But looking at the flashbacks, even I can't really tell what signs were there that they missed. Like, there aren't a lot of moments that Hannah's parents, or Hannah says things that her parents seem to miss. Like, I don't know how you felt about that, but like, did Hannah put up, now again, as I said, I missed the last few episodes so far, but does Hannah put up any red flags that you feel like the parents missed that they should have caught?
She does hide a lot of things from her parents. Like, there's this one scene, I don't remember, there's this one scene where she's doing something and then her mom walks in, I think, and then her mom's like, what are you doing? She's like, she shoves stuff under something, she's like, nothing. So there were signs of secrets, but her parents didn't dig deep enough to figure out what the secrets were until after the fact.
It was when she was doing the tapes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe.
But is that on the parents? For example, roles reversed, if it's you, you know, your parents find out about, or see that things are weird, and they start pressing. How do you feel about it? Are you going to shut down, or are you going to open up and tell them? What would you do?
I mean,
I think that can all depend on who you are, because,
yeah.
Like, everybody's, like, they think of their parents, like, differently. Like, if I think, oh, my parents are the most caring people in the world, they do anything for me. Other people are like, my parents literally won't do anything. They'll, like, leave me alone. So I think for some people, if, like, their parents start pressing and they're, like, keep asking questions about what they're doing and everything, some people might be like, okay, I know I can trust you. I'm going to open up. But other people might be like, hey, you just need to leave me alone, like, whatever, whatever, and push them even farther away and close down even more.
Yeah, but sometimes it's not, the parent doesn't have to go, what are you doing? The parent can just pick, not right then and there, but they could be like, okay, well, can we have a conversation? Because even for kids who know that they have someone to go to,
mm-hmm.
to talk to about anything, like, even for a parent to be like, listen, you can talk to me about anything, I'm not going to get mad, I'm not going to judge you, like, not, like, you can talk to me, whatever, we can figure it out. Whereas, I know for me, like, my mom says things like that, and I'm like, yeah, right, okay. But at least I'm like, okay, well, things were at that point where they were that bad. I know that she would listen. Maybe I wouldn't like how she reacted, but there would be someone.
Yeah, at least I can talk to someone.
Exactly.
I can tell someone.
Like, it's not necessarily the reaction they're looking for. They're just looking for someone to listen to them and what they're saying, which I think is what Hannah wanted, was for someone to listen to what she was saying. So for someone to, as going back on that question previously, someone
yes.
to hear her voice, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
With some people, though, yeah, their parents would say that, but sometimes they're like, whether they say that they're not gonna get mad or stuff like that,
it's contradicting for some parents.
For some parents, it is. It really is, because even if they say that, sometimes their response makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
What like type of response would you need?
Like, more of like, for something like that, like, I don't want to say it from, okay. I'm trying to think of this in a way that I can't say from experience, because that's what I'm trying to use, but I also don't want to explain that. Like, I had a situation with my mom where, yeah, she said she wasn't gonna, like, I was hiding something from her for years.
Mm.
Like, it had been 4 years almost.
Wow.
That I was hiding this from her. And, yeah, it was pretty big. Like, I should have told her, but you're always afraid of the reaction. You know, and she kind of like when like we had like an issue from before, and like she was like, just tell me now, like anything that's like been wrong and like all this stuff, and I'm not gonna react in any way. And for my mom, her saying that was really like contradicting. You know, like she got mad at me that I didn't tell her.
She got mad at you that you kept it from her.
Yeah.
Like, all that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that I didn't tell her sooner, but yeah, like, it's something that you don't really want to talk to people about, you know? Like,
I feel like it's more of a constant balance between the two, because at some point in the back of your head, you're like, I want someone to listen to you, I want someone to listen to you, but then you're like,
I can't
keep it to myself, like,
yeah.
No one's going to understand. Like, there's the balance of the two.
Yeah.
It's just, some people got to realize, like, I don't... Well, not for me, but I know for some people, like, they realize, like, the stronger part of them is, like, no, you need, like, they push themselves, like, I need to talk to someone, like, I know I have a problem that needs to, like...
And then there's people like me that
to
decide
there.
To keep it to themselves.
Which makes it worse for themselves.
Makes
and so they're going to come to that one day where they're either going to go drastically or they're going to realize, I need someone to listen to me.
To be honest, I wish I had said something sooner, you know? But at the same time, I'm kind of glad I kept it to myself. But I also think that if I had told someone sooner, like, it would have prevented a lot of things.
Mm.
But then again, like, in the moment, you don't really think of it.
Yeah,
like, in the moment, you're so in, like, sorry to cut you off, but, like, when you're in that moment, you're in that moment. Like, it jumbles up. You can't think straight. And once you're in that moment... You just kind of go with the flow.
Why does this sound?
There's not really like once you're doing something, like you're doing something. You know, like because of these things adding up, like you get so clouded and like so foggy, like it takes a toll on you.
I want to hear
in more ways than other.
I want to hear what Mitch thinks about this, because
I think. Clay's mom needs a chill pill.
Clay's mom?
Clay's mom.
Because one thing that I know is she just jumps to conclusions. She doesn't care about the story. She just wants justice. Because there's a scene where Bryce buys Clay beer.
Yeah.
And Justin and I think...
Alex is there.
He makes Alex and Clay race to finish it, and he goes home drunk out of his mind. And Clay's just standing at the table, and his mom just, are you drunk? And he says, yeah, kind of. And then she goes, she just jumps, like, okay, go to your room, like, this. And the dad is just like, calm down, let's sit down and have dinner. He says he's like, I'm not feeling well.
He was really chill in that scene. The dad was really chill.
Well, I mean, I feel like...
And yes, he throws it.
In scenes like that, like, not scenes like that, but in situations like that, when your kid comes home with something that you as a parent obviously would like not to do and don't approve of, like, drinking or even being high or something, I feel like if a parent jumps, like, the mom did and was like, go to your room, do this, you can't do this, and this, that, like, they're just the kid's just gonna want to do it more to defy mm-hmm. the parents as a rebellion yeah. thing. Because as teenagers, that's normally what we do. We just rebel. Whereas the dad, I feel like, is kind of smart in a way, because he's like, you know what? If yes, this is a serious problem, but if we approach this calmly, we could prevent it from happening in the future. So it was more of like, I'm a friend, Clay, but I'm also here to parent you mm-hmm. and be like, you shouldn't be doing this. This isn't good, but I'm not going to be like, don't do this. This is bad. Da, 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 because it's more contradiction. Because he knows that his parents drink. He knows that his parents have done all the stuff, even when they were kids or whatever. Most teenagers do. But, like, I feel like the dad was kind of smart, like I said before, because he approached it. He approached it in a parent way. He's like, that's not good. But he also approached it in, like, a calmer way. So that the teenager, because normally when a parent gets mad at you, you're going to get mad at them for being mad at you. And it should be an arguing, which is what the mom was doing, whereas the dad was taking a calmer approach, which I think is wiser to do, because then you're not having a screaming match.
So if I'm hearing you two correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is, in that scene, what you would have liked to have seen, the reason that you appreciated the father more is the father was listening to the story as opposed to focusing just on the fact that he came in drunk.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I'm drunk. And it is true that the reason he's drunk in that scene is completely different than, say, he was at a party and he came home totally hammered. In that particular scene, he's basically bullied to drink a 40.
Whereas there's also that fine line, because I feel like his mom was like, oh, it was just pure pressure. Whereas it wasn't. It was that fine line between being peer pressured and being bullied into doing it.
I don't think he was really bullied.
Well, I mean, they said, if you don't drink this, we're going to beat you. You got to leave here a little buzz, or you leave here beaten.
Buzzed or beaten.
That's a threat. He's not, because bullying is like
a
continuous, like, hurting of someone. And it's not really, like, continuous. It's because Clay is listening to the tapes and he's, like, finding out these things about everyone. So they're trying to, like, say, like, okay, you know, stop, like, approaching us and saying that we're the bad people. And in this scenario,
they don't know yet, do they?
Yeah, they do. They all know FBA that he has the tapes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you approach Jessica just with those guys, he has the tapes.
But yeah, it's not really like he's being bullied into drinking. Like, he's being threatened. Like, they're saying, okay, drink or we're going to beat you up. And, you know, he obviously doesn't want to get beaten up. So what is he going to do?
Drink? Yeah.
Or, like...
But then again, like, I get what you mean, but it's just a threat thing. But because we know... Well, I watched it twice, almost, well, 1.5 times. So, looking back on it, because I know the characters, I knew their intentions were, like, it wasn't just a threat, it was action threat, so it was like, they're gonna beat him up if he doesn't drink it.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he literally confronts them in a way that
he
really shouldn't. You can't just go up to someone and be like, you killed Hannah.
You can't walk into Bryce's house and try and page him about raping somebody.
How does a teenager who hasn't experienced a lot of things in their life, how do you tell them to handle stuff?
I also think that...
Like, even though we are, like, we haven't been through a lot, but we've been through a lot.
I also think it was kind of made clear. I honestly think that Bryce may have mental issues. Because...
Bryce?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what he did was, like, really sick. Like, you can't rape somebody. But...
More than one.
The thing that was the worst about is... In the second last episode, when Clay goes to the house and basically questions Bryce, why did you rape her? He just turns around and he's like, rape her? She was practically begging for me to do it.
Mm.
And it's like, really? Like, she was clear that she didn't want it to happen. And, like, he's clear to be made a liar, and raping somebody isn't, like, not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Like, it's a big deal.
So it is a big deal.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't know what else to say, but if anyone can add on to that.
I think it kind of all kind of ties around with the, like, there's 13 different ways. Like, there's 13 different sides of the story. Unless Bryce is lying, he's saying, in his view, in his perspective, she was asking for the sex. She was consenting to sex. But in her way, she's saying, no, I was raped. In this case, I believe Hannah, because I just think of, you know, it's happened before where it said he had raped a person. So it's kind of hard to believe when he's like, oh, like, they said yes.
In the rape scene, she says no.
Yeah.
But Bryce is like, well, you're asking for it because you're in the hot tub.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, like, as what Mitchell's saying, I do think Bryce is suffering from a type of illness because, like, you don't just wake up and, like, I'm going to rape one person. Like, you're like,
honestly,
I'm going to rape you.
To be honest, he could just be suffering from stupidity.
Or if
I mean, that's also a disorder, but, like...
I mean, or for all we know, again, we don't know any, like, real backstories. He could have been raped when he was younger.
Exactly.
Which
is also
why you might think
he,
that this is
this,
a good
this,
thing to do.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it could be something...
He could not know anything.
He might not have even raped Hannah or...
Jessica. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's one person. But he admits that he raped her, though. Like,
yeah. Yeah, well,
he's
says,
like, yes,
well,
I raped
if it's,
Hannah.
If that's what you call it, then yeah, it was rape.
Do you know these characters? I mean, you're right. You're right to say that you don't know these characters in the show. I think you guys have said that absolutely right.
Yeah.
But do you know them? No names. Don't give real names. But do you know them?
I think we all of us know.
All of us in one way or another
yeah.
are these characters.
We all know someone that would represent
exactly.
this character. Although we may not like dig deep and be like, oh, you're definitely this
no,
person.
No, of course. I understand
exactly.
what you
mean. Yeah. Like, we know somebody or I've met someone or. Are acquainted with someone that could represent this character.
Sure.
Literally, if anything, we know Hannah because most teenagers out there have gone through stuff Hannah's gone through, so we can all, in a sense, be a Hannah
mm-hmm.
and relate to what she's gone through and going through and what she's telling everyone through the tapes. So out of all the characters that's more relatable, you either know a Hannah or you know a Clay.
Mm.
Like, yes, you can know all the other characters, but I'm saying, like, mainly the most majority of people was like, yes, I know a Clay, or yes, I know a Hannah, because you can either identify as one or the other.
Mm. Well, here's the follow-up question to that, then. If you all know a Hannah, how do you reach out to them? Or do you?
I think, as we've said before, like, people feeling invisible, it's hard to do. Especially if you're not as close to them. Like, if you're, like, absolute best friends with somebody, it would probably be a lot easier to talk to them than if you had just met them a few times in class or something. Because you've gotten to know, like, your best friend. Mm-hmm. That's usually, like, what best friends are for. You're really close to them. You've, like, either grown up with them or you feel like you've grown up with them, although you may have only known them for a few months or a year or something. So I think it's a whole lot easier sometimes to be able to help somebody that you're really close to than just to go up to somebody you've seen a few times, just been like, hey, I see that you're like really depressed, you're acting this sort of way, you seem to be like this and whatever, I want to help you. It's hard for them because then they'll be like, hey, I don't know you, why are you like doing this to me? But if it's your best friend, usually they'll be like, okay, thank you for realizing and noticing that I feel this way. Please help.
I feel like for the approaching, if it's someone you don't really know, but you've talked to a couple of times, it'd be like, you would be like, I know you're depressed. Talk to me. It'd be like, more like, let them know that you're there if they
mm-hmm.
need someone to talk
yeah,
to.
It's more
like
casual.
It's more of like, hey, look, like, I know you. Like, I know you. I'm here for you if you need anything kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, yo, you're depressed, you need to talk to me.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It's more of a, hey, if you need someone to talk to, I'm here. Because for me, recently, actually yesterday, I went through something like that where I don't really talk to this person. And we just got into a conversation yesterday, and I was like, hey, look, like, I helped him through something. I was like, if you ever need to talk to me, like, I'm here, you can talk to me. And they were like, thank you. I will take that into consideration. Like, it doesn't always have to be like they have to talk to you, but at least they know.
Yeah.
That and they have your
desire
to mind
that your hand is
that
always there for them to have.
Exactly.
I went through a similar situation today with a friend, like, that I used to be really close to, and I just saw her crying, and I literally, like, my automatic response was to go sit with her and see what was going on. You know, like, I didn't force her to share. I said, sorry if I'm being intrusive at all.
but here's my number. If you need me, text me, call me, whatever you need, you know? Like, just putting that hand out there for them, whether they grab it or not, it could be the biggest help. Because they may not have parents that they can talk to. They may not have a trusted adult they can talk to, but at least they have you who knows, who has a trusted adult, you know, that could somehow give some sort of, but also ask for their permission to share, you know? But you can help them in that way of, like, giving them those options.
They may be able to relate to me. They are going to understand me better. They're going to
give advice.
Going through. They be able to at least listen to me and kind of understand and relate. Whereas a parent is just, they're, a lot of kids think, like, a parent is just going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You're just going to be like, well, you need help. So here is kids' help phone. Like,
yeah.
Whereas if it's like, for instance, Savannah coming to me or me coming to Savannah, it's more like, okay, well, we're friends or we're similar age, so it's, I obviously am gonna understand more what you're going through than
exactly.
I think,
like,
I think also with that, like, yeah, you feel like your parents are gonna tell you what to do. But some parents will be like, oh, I was your age once, like, I can relate.
But the
it's
times
also,
have changed.
Yeah. They were your age 20, 30, however many years ago.
Like, my mom was my age in the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
So
30 years later, like,
yeah, it's,
like, so much has changed.
Yeah.
Well, like, put into my perspective, my parents always say, oh, I was your age once too. I can understand fully what's going on. No, you really don't. Because you know what, Dad? You were 16 in 1971.
Exactly.
So,
like that is like the generic.
He went to Victoria Park, the school that I went to.
You go to.
Go to. Nearly like 50 years ago.
Exactly.
And
obviously change.
It's clear that but what a lot of parents don't know is that things have changed. They don't know change because they aren't there. My parents aren't there. My parents have no idea what goes on. My parents told me, my mom told me she watched the first episode of 13 Reasons Why, and she told me that show is completely inappropriate for you to be watching. And I responded to her with, no, the show is completely appropriate for me to be watching.
It's completely
because
relevant.
That's what I deal with.
And it's accurate.
I know a girl in my grade who's been raped. And it's like,
yeah, exactly. Like, it's relevant issues.
It's relevant.
Society,
like,
you know?
Like, I know for me, because of what I've been through, that the show is actually more of, like, wow,
like an eye-opener as to,
like
that could
I
have been me.
Relate. Like, that's what,
like,
I was going through. And you're like, I got out of it. Like, this person
like,
did too. You live through the characters almost. If you
like,
able to relate
it
to
just shows you that I could have been at this point, like, I've been at this point, I could have gone further with it and end up like that, but
I didn't.
I was strong enough to know where, what I was supposed to be doing and that I'm supposed to be here.
Exactly. Some parts of that show, like,
you that you still have so much.
Yeah, if you connect in that way in the show, it's like, gives you a confidence boost, like, I came out of it.
You know, exactly. It gives you that kind of, like, push
honestly,
to say that, yeah, you got better.
Being
you know?
As a person who suffered, like, I've gone through times where, like, I've been, like, very depressed. And, like, when I was looking at, like, Hannah's story and Alex's story, it's kind of like, if I was there, they could have most likely been alive. Because, like, if I was the person there, like, I feel like I would have noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I knew Hannah Baker, which a lot of the people who say that they were friends,
they didn't know her.
They
at
didn't
all.
Know her. You know, like, even Hannah's mom says it in one of the episodes.
Hannah
didn't have any friends. Like,
no,
even when they were commenting about, like, the. It's just to add, like, even, like, at the memorial thing,
yeah.
Like, how the mom comments, like, Hannah didn't even think, like, she didn't like roses. They thought they were cliche. She thought they were
yeah.
cliche.
They didn't know who she was.
They just did it out of respect, you know?
Depression is, like, very, very, very common. It's, like,
95% of the population goes through it by the time you're 40. Not bad.
And
the more you know.
a lot of us can really say, like, oh, if I was there, like, I can definitely help. I can, like, I could be the one that could, like, in theory, maybe, like, save Hannah Baker. But the thing is, it's also how she is thinking. So although you may go to her and you may say, okay, do you know what? I've dealt with similar things. I can help you. She's also like, no, I've gone through so much worse. Nobody can help me.
Yeah.
So although it's you want to be the person that can save her, sometimes, like, in obviously if you're in this scenario or if you're in the show, if you go to her and you're saying, like, oh, like, this is relatable, I've gone through the same things, she might, like, might make her feel worse, because then she's like, okay, people are, like, you know, telling
noticing.
Me, like, yeah, they're noticing that I, that stuff has happened to me, and I'm getting, you know, noticed for the wrong reasons. Like, I want to be noticed for, you know, doing good things, not being the person that's depressed, being the person that has been bullied and everything.
And a lot of us say that if we were there, we could help. But if you think about it, if we were there, we would be like all the other characters. We would have no idea. Like, yes, we'd be like, that's not right. But we still would be like, well, maybe they'll rush it off. Because Hannah, when she comes into school, like, the next day or whatever, she still comes in with somewhat of a smile on her face. She still talks to Clay like nothing's wrong. So in us, we feel the same as all the other characters in the show. We would have no idea, because we wouldn't have that insight that we have now watching the show.
The one thing about, like, people who are suffering, like, who they should contact, like, they, the thing about, like, when you have some forms of depression, mostly when it's, like, really severe, one of my friends actually has really, really bad depression, comparable to, like, probably, not to say that nobody has it worse, but he has it, like, one of the worst, like, forms of depression you can have, and it's like, really, like, it shows, and, like, it's been, like, kind of, like, a wonder for a really long time, if it's a thing, but the thing about this person is that they don't like to contact people, they don't like to talk to people, they shut themselves in so much, because they think that if they're to tell somebody, that they're ultimately being judged very hard because of the way they see society, because society doesn't respect some people when they're going through that thing. And this person is just, like, they go through a really hard time, and, like, they can't talk to anybody because they're too scared. So it's just kind of, yeah.
Again, like, a lot of people might say, like, oh, if I was there, I would definitely help Hannah. As they're watching the show, they're like, oh, I would be the one that, like, you know, would stand up for Hannah, would be there for her. But this is happening in your life. In some way, shape, or form, there is somebody that you know that is going through this. And as you're saying, you know, oh, I would definitely help Hannah, this person's behind you, and they're like, please help me. And you may not be, you know, turning around and saying, okay, let me help you.
Or you don't know what to do.
Or even that. But I feel like when, if a lot of people are saying, like, oh, I would definitely help Hannah, it's like, why not try to help the people that are in your life, that are in, like, reality right there in front of you or behind you,
yeah,
that are trying to get some sort of help, or in some cases not trying to get help because they feel like they don't want to. Sometimes they feel like they're a burden if they do. Turn around and, like, try to help them first before, you know, trying to help a character.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, and starting to wrap up here, I think that's one of the things that that I took away from it is, you know, I, of course, I'm a pastor, so, you know, I think of the passage that I thought of was, let the little children come to me, when Jesus is talking about that, and that's because the children were, you know, social outcasts, and people were trying to keep them away, like, Jesus is too important to keep them away, but Jesus saw the value in the children.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see that, it was because they didn't, nobody would listen to them. Nobody thought that they were, you know, worth a voice.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why I put it to you guys to say, who's your Hannah? Because the reality is, we all do know Hannah. We just may not know we know Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you said that, you know, oh, well, I would have been there for Hannah. I would have been there. What about Courtney? Daniel wouldn't be there for Courtney.
No,
but I mean,
sorry.
Or Alex. Or you know, those other characters. Or Kyler. You know, these other characters. The reason we focus on Hannah is because she's the one that actually kills herself at the beginning of the story. So she's been, oh, I wish I could have been there for her. But nobody said that about the other characters.
And that's what I kind of wanted to say as well, is that to add on to what Daniel said, yeah, we all want to, like what I said, even I wanted to. But what we didn't notice is that Alex wanted to pretty much kill himself. We never really, like, it might have crossed our mind, but we just probably blew it off and said, oh, well.
We didn't realize until it was too late.
Exactly.
The story's about Hannah. We need to focus on
Hannah. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something to take away from this. And guys, I got this. I can go for another.
Always be aware of your surroundings.
We could go for another hour on this, but you know, people stop.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. No, we can't. We gotta do screen or skip it. Guys, 13 Reasons Why. Screen it or skip it.
Screen it.
10 out of 10 would recommend screen it.
I like this. I like. I'm just thinking about it here. I definitely screen this, but I don't want him to say it if he doesn't think so.
Screen it.
Okay. Why did it take so long to say? What was the question?
Really, just like I'm not quite sure of whether this show should be shown or not for a brief second, because it could be taken different ways.
Sure.
It could be taken as something like my mom thinks is like, should be only for adults, or should be only for people of certain ages. But in my opinion, like that I was just thinking of is, well, it's a good show for people to watch because people can see what kind of things, how things affect certain people. And see, like, well, Bryce raped Hannah, and that was, like, the boiling point. And, yeah, I guess that's really just...
I feel like it should be screened, but for a certain age group.
Yes.
What age group?
Probably 12 on.
Oh, geez, yeah, I wouldn't go.
13 on.
I'm not letting Anders watch 13 Reasons Why.
Because I see 12 on because 12, for me anyways, 12 was when I really started feeling like I'm an outcast.
Mm-hmm. You realize there are a lot of people that would say that's very young to watch this show. I think, you know, to say 12 was actually young.
I understand where you're coming from, but like even back.
Just let her finish this out. I want to give you, just she wasn't finished. This one.
I don't say that, like, yeah, I get why you're saying that's young. But also, if you think about it, that's when kids start going through bullying. That's when bullying really extremely kicks in. That's when everyone's like, oh, well, I'm cool, you're not, so you suck, you're a loser, and we're just going to pick on you.
No, it's really when you start hitting puberty and then
you start
taking offense to everything and everything you get butthurt. Because when you're a kid, you're just like,
okay,
cry about it for 10 minutes.
Exactly.
Like, on with your day.
Seth, go ahead.
I started feeling like I was an outcast when I was 11. So, honestly, yeah, I get both of where you're both coming from, but to be honest, it wasn't even like puberty that started it for me.
It was before or after?
Yeah. Honestly,
it was like,
well, like I had hit I had hit puberty a bit before that, but like it wasn't puberty that triggered it.
You as a parent have to be able to judge when your kid is ready, because, and even have a discussion with your kid about it, because,
or even
you never know, because people go through it earlier than others.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, mine started when I started having depression. I was 4 when mine started. It didn't really, wasn't becoming a problem until I was 8. So, like, it all depends on who the kid is and what they've gone through and what you know they've gone through as a parent. So realistically, it's...
Should parents watch it
like,
with their teens?
Yeah. I think the
parents
are really
parents should watch it first.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then if they feel...
comfortable with their kids watching it, then...
I think
but then again,
not
is either the first or the last boiling point before you lose it, if you lose your home. Because when you go home, you want comfort. So if you're getting bullied at school and you're coming home
and
you're still getting bullied, that's like the tension is built up the most. Or if at home you're getting bullied and then you go to school and you get bullied and you hang out with your friends and they aren't really your real friends and they bully you.
I think home is a lot of the breaking point for a lot of people.
Home is make or break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like home, if you're getting abused emotionally, physically, and you're also getting physically or emotionally bullied at school, like, that's a lot for someone to handle.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if you're getting bullied at school, then you have, and you at least have the support of your household.
But even at school, you learn how to build this wall, or you're forced to build this wall, and sometimes...
Like,
And sometimes when you go home, your wall is still up. You feel like, I can't take this wall down because I don't know. Like, yes, they're my parents.
Yeah.
Yes, they're my siblings.
Some
yes, they love me. But yes, I have that good relationship with them. But still, like, I don't want to, I feel like you could feel very vulnerable because of what you've gone through at school. Because of this wall that you're forced to build up. You could have that wall still built up at home. You may not even realize it.
That's true, because I do that. I don't know for a fact. I can't even deny it.
Daniel, you want to say something, and I still haven't even said my response.
Sorry, just quickly. I think to go back to what we were talking about like what age should be like the starting point to watch it or anything, I don't think there should be a set age, because people learn about things and people go through things at a different age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these things happen to somebody that's 47. These things can happen to somebody who is 8 years old, especially how they touch, like, rape in the show. Somebody can get raped at the age of 17, at 47, or at the age of 8. Like, it sucks. It honestly does, but it's true. So I don't think you should be, like, waiting to show your child a certain thing until they're 16 or 17 or 14
sometimes
or whatever age, because they need it, and by the time
it, yeah,
they watch it, they're like, oh, I've already dealt with this 6 years
so
ago. Why am I looking at this now?
Yeah.
Like, you could have helped me 6 years ago. You could have helped me when I needed the help.
Yeah,
but
like,
you're
sometimes
just like,
I wish there was this stuff when I went through certain things.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing is obviously I relate more to the parents in a lot of ways to the story. But so that was one of the, that affected my screen it, because I actually did feel screen it, but because I'm older, I feel like I'm speaking to the parents on this one. I think the parents should screen it and not be afraid of it. But I think if you're going to screen it, you have to shut up and listen.
Yeah.
Like, you have to listen to the story. Now,
yeah.
Because
you can't jump to conclusions constantly.
I think that's the whole point of the show.
Yeah.
Is to, and I do think this as well. There are two reasons to watch a show like this. One is to think it's, wow, I heard it was really good, so I want to see a great show. The other reason is to learn. And I think that, you know, you should see a show like Stranger Things, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that's a great show, you watch it.
But
this
it
is a show that doesn't teach you anything. This show, as a parent...
The Acrobat and the Flea Theory, I mean.
Okay, well, it teaches you science.
But, like,
it doesn't teach
real
you
life.
Real life stuff. And I think that as a parent, that you should screen it, but with the intent to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn about a worldview that is not your own. And a world experience that is not your own.
Just put your heart in the right spot.
Yeah. I think that's key.
And your mind in the right place.
Be prepared.
Before.
If for parents or adults, I'd say, be prepared to hear things you're not going to like.
Yeah.
But continue to watch till the end.
Because those things are probably
because
what
the end
are going to teach you most.
You'll get a message.
Learn you most.
And you'll then learn more about how this world operates now.
Mm.
And
okay.
Yeah, you're not going to like it, but sometimes that's what
I remember something that I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead, Mitch.
13 Reasons Why is the passion of the Christ of depression.
Depression.
Explain.
Explain, please.
Passion of the Christ was a very graphic depiction of
the death of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
13 Reasons Why is like a very graphic version, like depiction.
Wait, are you saying Chyna Baker is Jesus Christ?
No, he's not. Although you could draw the harder comparisons, but I wouldn't in this case. But I hear what you're saying. That makes sense. In terms of it's graphic.
Depression is real. Jesus is real. Parents may or may not want to show this.
Okay. A lot of old-fashioned parents are like, mental health, that's just an excuse.
Yes.
So now it makes sense.
Agree with that 110%.
Because a lot of people are like, Jesus is real. I can't see it. I can't see him. He's not real. Whereas it's the same thing with mental health. A lot of old-fashioned people are like,
I can't see it. That's not real.
That's just an excuse.
Yeah.
Get over it. Oh, well, as my grandma says.
Well, you guys just dropped
go to bed, sleep it off.
I'm impressed. That was good. I'm glad you said that. Guys, I gotta shut down here, especially since we're over time. But this has been fantastic. Thank you all so much for doing this. Thank you all for coming on. It was really appreciate your honesty.
You're welcome.
It was a good talk.
Everybody who's watching and listening is getting a tape.
Oh no!
And pass it on.
Stop.
Y'all cared, but didn't care enough.
Well,
you listen to this.
You listen to this podcast. Welcome to your tape.
There's a second set of this podcast that will be released if y'all don't listen,
y'all listen to it.
Welcome to your tape, Keisha. We all know you're listening.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, if you are listening, you can listen and pass on the link from iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or Podomatic. If you go to the Screenfish website, screenfish.net, you can download Fishing for More, which are questions that you can have with the people that you want to talk about the show with as well. And in a very different type of episode, next week we're back with talking about Alien Covenant.
Basically, 13 reasons.
I hear that that's. Looking forward to that conversation with director Paul Muzzin and Mikey Fissel from Real World Theology. I think it's going to be a fun conversation and probably not as dark as this one or heavy. But hope you'll join us for that. But as always, we started the conversation. This was Screenfish.